live at Harrigan Centennial Hall. This is Emily Kwong from the Raven Radio Newsroom, and we're with our seven assembly candidates. Elections are October 3rd. We're going to dive right back into your questions. If you have one, you can email it to us at news@kcaw.org. I have a question for you all. It was emailed into us by a few folks, and I'm just going to push it all together into one kind of big question. And again, if you go past 90 seconds, I'm going to start to wave my hand. So the question is, I'm going to build off of something that fellow assembly member who you would work with if elected, Bob Petruski, asked. He said, what would be a potential assembly person's plan for dealing with the possible $70 million in capital costs the city, school district, and community hospital may need in the next 2 years? I'm going to broaden that question to say, how would you pay for city government? What are your ideas? What would you do? What would you not do if elected? Because at the end of the day, you pass the budget that pays for buildings, roads, sewer, water, all infrastructure. How would you pay for it? Ben Maiasato, I believe you are the first person to take this question on. So whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Emily. Ben Maiasato. $70 million for capital cost, that is a very large amount. And this is the part that we need to remember as a public. You get the government you elect. And if elected on the assembly, the one thing we need to be looking at is how to raise that $70 million. Or the one thing I would look at is how much of that $70 million actually needs to be done immediately. That amount is a large amount. And this is my... I go in and, when I was on assembly, went into department directors and talked with them. And that's one of the things I did this afternoon, and talked with Jay Sweeney, the finance director. That is a very valid question, and it comes to the point of what he says that we need to do here in our city is that we have a lot of things that need to be paid for, and they need the bills coming due, but we have not in the past set aside to pay for it. That is the big question, is how are we going to pay for it? If we can find federal grants, state grants, it's probably not likely. But the ability to raise that revenue is something that we will have to come up, and I do believe we should do this as a public because it is a large amount. But the one thing I would like to say regarding that is rates and taxes that we have here, it's too expensive as it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Kitty Sopo, the question is, how do you pay for city government? And if you could be also, I'd encourage you all to be as specific as possible in naming actual tax items or revenue possibilities for Sitka. Go ahead.
Step one, I'm admitting my ignorance on city budget. So I, as an assembly member, would need to first sit down with Jay and...
That being Jay Sweeney, our chief and financial administrative officer?
Yes.
Yes.
Jay Sweeney.
The numbers guy at the city.
First, I would sit down with Jay Sweeney and get a better idea of how the budget has been operated. I would also need to sit down with department heads and discuss the needs of the employees as well as citizens in this town. Based on the amount of attention that I've been getting in the grocery store since declaring my candidacy, I don't think that the citizens of this town are going to be shy about their needs, so continue to be a good listener would definitely be part of that plan. But I think the most important thing is to just, you know, get a better idea of how the budgets have been operated in the past. To understand how we can grow for the future.
Great. Thank you, Kitty Sopo. Jamie Ackley, how would you pay for city government if elected?
Thank you. I know we're not the only small community that has challenges, but I feel that financially we have to think outside the box. Sitkans do things unconventionally anyway. So why do we have to pay for our budget conventionally? We have to think broader. We have to think more elaborate. And also, I feel that we need to do more research. We're not isolated. We are isolated, don't mind me, by being where our location is. But there's other communities that are very small, that have challenges. And what are they doing? What are they doing to cover their budget? What are small little farming towns in New Mexico doing to cover their costs? Because they're challenged also for other issues. So I just feel that a lot of research needs to go into this to see what other people are doing. And it doesn't have to be the old school way of paying for bills. Thank you again. This is Jamie Ackley.
And Stephen Eisenbeis, same question.
I just want to start by saying the $70 million figure that was stated earlier for the school district and the community hospital, that's the first time I've heard that number. So while I don't disbelieve the source of information there, I'd like to say that $70 million might be a bit excessive because I haven't heard anything anywhere close to that. How are we going to pay for city government? Well, first, we have to reduce the costs of city government. If there is room to trim, it needs to be trimmed, and that needs to come from the very top down, which is the assembly directing one of our two employees, the administrator, to pass either flat budget or a budget with a slight amount of reduction in it. Those steps right there could set us up for more prosperity down the road. We need to live within our means. I understand that. But I also understand that every cut is going to hurt someone or something. Our city government does provide a lot of services to Sitkins, and we've all become very accustomed to these services. So no matter what we cut, if it doesn't affect you, it might affect your neighbor. And we have to understand that before we go with a razor blade slashing budgets. Also want to add that the budget crunch we're in now is not necessarily due to the inflated budget of city government. While I've been on the assembly, the budget has actually grown very small. The reason we're in the crunch we are right now is due to less money coming in from federal and state entities, making it very much harder for us to operate. The less money that we get from there, the money has to come from our citizens somewhere. Do I have time to continue? No.
If you move in the wrap-up direction.
Okay. I will end there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Sonia Smith.
I think this is an area where, as a community, as an assembly, as the mayor, everyone needs to roll up their sleeves, take a look at what our primary challenges are, like just getting through this landslide season. I think that would be a top priority. Are we ready for that? I think it's really important to know what is actually going on. Like he just stated, that he's not sure if that's the actual figure. That would be a concern, whether or not there's some accuracy to that. And then for the school, for the schools, I would look at things that could actually be at risk for being cut. I know with the amount of families that are moving out, that has dropped the enrollment numbers. I would like to know, I would be motivated to find out where we're at with the numbers, and then prioritize and find ways to reinvest for the future. And what kind of proposals are currently on the table that would directly impact that budget? And how much do we actually have to work with as a city? And take a look at what our challenges are and where that would put us fiscally. Okay. And can we be responsible for that? Is it realistic?
So looking at what's realistic.
Yeah.
And Richard Ween, you're the last person to answer this question.
This is Richard Ween.
Oh, and Sheila Finkenbinder. Thank you.
This is Richard Ween and Sheila Finkenbinder. If I were to answer this question in one word, I would say Powerball, because the last winner got $478 million.
You mean the lottery?
And if you're feeling lucky, we can possibly get this city out of financial difficulty. But that being said, I'm being asked, like Bruce Willis, to save the world in 90 seconds. Firstly, it's a three-dimensional question. That $70 million, you have to know what kind of $70 million it is and where it's coming from and what are the, as I mentioned in my opening statements, the needs and the wants. So we don't know that. You know, what you're asking is almost like a treasure hunt of where do I find $70 million.
Well, I think the question is, how would you pay for our costs as a city?
The first thing, as I said in my opening statement, I will fully engage the assembly process and review everything that this city has to do on a budgetary in a budgetary way in order to understand what the problems are so I can best figure out why are we $70 million in the hole. And that's why the question is not fair, because it needs research and consideration. And magic, as defined by Sigmund Freud, is wish fulfillment. And I can't give you magic tonight. What I can give you is the hard work that it'll take to review these things in a way that I hope will be different than any prior assembly.
Thank you, Richard Wien. And to clarify on this question, this was submitted by Assemblymember Bob Petruski. $70 million is what he said would be the capital cost for the next 10 years. The numbers are things that assembly members look at all the time and check with. Everyone here is correct, with city staff to verify. Sheila Finkenbinder, paying for city government, taxes, revenue, what do you think?
Clearly, we've been in a budget funk, just like the state, for several years, and we need to have more money in our budget. Basically, there's three ways of doing that. One, you can raise taxes. That either means you raise the tax rate so people are paying more taxes. Or we can cut costs, and sometimes this means that you have one engineer instead of three, and so you possibly end up with pilings that are 3 feet deep instead of 12. So either one of those is not really going to fix the problem. The only way you're going to have more money in your budget is by growing your economy. You have to bring in more primary dollars into the community. And that means more people making more goods or providing more services that people outside this community want to pay money for. So whether that means Ruth down the road making soap, coffee, chocolate, salt, or floating processors that are being built out at Sawmill Cove Industrial Park, or tours for visitors, or tax services, whatever services or goods that are provided in this community that bring in primary dollars is what's necessary to grow our budget. Thank you. I'm Sheila Finkenbinder.
Thank you. So essentially expanding the tax base is...
Expanding the tax base?
Sure.
Not raising the tax rates.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure your point was clear. Michelle Putz, you had wanted to ask a question as well. Catherine Rose is coming towards you with the microphone.
I'll make this another yes/no. Need more information question. There's a group of volunteers here in Sitka that are working to reduce how many disposable bags get given away in town, and they're doing it through both education and other things. But also, they're considering two possible legislation pieces: either a fee or a ban on plastic bags. The fee would be used to half the money would go towards education, half would go towards reducing electric rates. And I'm curious whether you would be willing to support legislation that helps us to reduce disposable bags for health and environmental reasons.
All right. We'll do this as if we're taking a vote on the assembly, which is a yes or no. So Kitty Sopo, why don't you go first?
Of course. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I would say yes.
Stephen Eisenbeis.
I will refrain to the, I need more information on this. There's a lot of logistics yet that I haven't figured out with this for my own personal business, and I think others are feeling the same way. So I would need more info.
Okay. Sonia Smith.
I'm with Stephen on that one. I would need to do more research to see what that's all about. I do like the idea of volunteers and everything they stand for. So, I'd like to look into that more.
Okay, more research. And Richard Ween?
This is Richard Ween. For our overseas audience, I'd like to say we, ya, da, and si, meaning yes.
Thank you. And Sheila Finkenbinder?
Not quite so simple, but I know that I've been carrying my reusable bags into the grocery store for years, and it's just pretty darn simple. And I know that when I go to Issaquah and go to the store, there's a sign right out there in the parking lot that said, "Do you have your bag?" It's so easy. And I think if you have to either buy another bag when you're in there or pay a nickel for a bag, pretty simple to get rid of a lot of plastic bags. So I guess that would be a yes.
Okay. And Ben Maiasato?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask another potentially precarious yes or no question, but this was submitted by two listeners, so I really do feel compelled to ask it anonymously. Though, one came from the Citizens Climate Lobby, and the question is, would you support taking action on climate change and why? Would you support taking action on climate change and why? Keep in mind, too, when you're on the Assembly, you're one of seven people. So part of the Assembly, of course, is your vote. And the other part is, as Stephen knows from serving a term, is persuading your fellow Assembly members on any issue we've talked about. I've seen it happen before my very eyes, Assembly members feeling one way, and then the others chime in, and suddenly the conversation changes. So I think that's important to keep in mind with all questions. Would you support taking action on climate change, and why?
My name is Jamie Ackley. I would support it. I would definitely have to do more research for the fact of how it would actually affect us here in Sitka. But I think it is definitely a idea and a problem that possibly needs to be addressed and taken care of. But how to go about doing that, it would definitely be something that I would need to spend some quality time researching and also talking to people that are more experienced and educated in this field than I am.
Thank you. Stephen Eisenbeiss.
Yes, action does need to be taken. I think it's very obvious to all of us that something is happening with our climate. Humans are not doing a very good job right now of taking care of Mother Earth. We're mining, we're drilling, we're cutting down trees. This goes beyond just climate change and fossil fuels, I believe. I'm a firm believer that one day we'll be mining our landfills because there are no more resources left and we have to go back to what we've already dug up. The Citizens Climate Lobby has presented an interesting fee-based system on petroleum producers that would then come back in the form of a revenue check to citizens. While I agree with what they're trying to do there, my take on it would be that we need to change consumer habits before we start, or in conjunction with taxes and fees, if that's the route that they go. Because until we get people to stop buying plastic, this and that, and throwing it away, stop buying gas guzzler cars, nothing is really going to change here. When he finally changes, the companies are going to follow suit because there's no longer demand for what they're currently producing. So I believe a lot of this has to go back to consumer habits and us changing our minds and giving that message to large companies.
Thank you, Stephen. And Sonia Smith, taking action on climate change as an Assembly.
I think that it's a riches for the spoils kind of trade-off here. Because on one hand, the commercial fishing industry is being affected definitely by this in a very dramatic way. And it brings, I mean, this is something that is so broad of an issue that it's hard to talk in just 30 seconds on what your opinion is on it, because it affects everything. Climate affects everything. It affects waste. It affects fishing. It affects, I guess, in a sense, the fishing industry is one in which that so many of our population is affected directly by our fishermen. They're important people. And the kind of waste that we're looking at, I don't know what the dollar amounts are. I'd be willing to look at those numbers. And it's all about habits. I myself try to be as conscious as possible about what kinds of things I actually waste. I try not to waste too much, and to teach those habits to families and our future generations. I think habits are directly related to waste. And at a consumer level, I think plastics is quite the issue. I heard it mentioned by one of the Edgecombe students, former Edgecombe students, who was very taken aback by the amount of waste that is in this town. And for that reason, she did not want to live here. So that gave me a pretty good idea of where that's at. They did go to the dump site, and they were looking at things underwater, you know, exploring different things. But anyway, I would definitely be willing to support the citizens' climate lobbying.
Thank you.
Efforts.
Thank you. And Richard Ween?
This is Richard Ween. The good news is, in December 2007, the Assembly of Sitka committed to taking action on climate change by endorsing the U.S. Mayor's Climate Protection Agreement. And on June 11th, 2010, there was a climate action plan created. And this is available. It's about 70 pages long. And there is a fairly comprehensive view of what Sitkins can do on a daily basis to help husband the resources of this town. And so, do humans affect the environment? You bet. But if we listen to Dustin Hoffman in the movie The Graduate, he was told that plastics was the future. And if we listen to George Carlin, it seems that the earth created plastics or created humans so plastics could be made. You have to listen to that YouTube if you really want to get the joke. But the bottom line is yes, and we already have a plan in place, and it needs to be reviewed and see what has been accomplished and what has not been.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard Ween.
And Sheila Finkenbinder. The question being, sorry for those listening at home, what are your opinions on taking action on climate change as an assembly member?
It wasn't quite the way I heard it in the beginning, but I'm afraid that...
I'm sorry. Here you go. Would you support taking action on climate change and why? Thank you.
A very, very broad question. And as an assembly person, I would definitely need to have a lot more definition to the question and parameters around what I'm supporting or not supporting prior to raising my hand yes or no. That being said, I'm a pretty fair and balanced person, and I would take into consideration any specific item that was brought up before the assembly that dealt with our area and consider it just like I will any other issue.
Thank you. And Ben Maiasato?
Thank you. regarding this on climate change in action and why. My answer would be yes. Climate change is not one of those where it's so easy to say that it's not happening, but it's also being born on the tail end of the baby boom generation. I myself remember when here in Sitka, the snow used to be as tall as myself, and I was a small little boy. And we went, I know, for a long time here in Sitka where it would just rain all winter long. Snow? What snow? Climate change, here's the part where I would like to see, if it was before the assembly, that not only do we pass it, but we also go to other assemblies throughout the state. And part of that reasoning behind that is when it's just one community, yeah, what difference does that make? You get more communities involved and they have that before their assembly. Do that. And not only would it show unity, but the other part about that is why not send something like that to the legislature? Part of doing this here is to not only let the public know that we're on board with this, but show that there's unity when everyone says, okay, there's more than one community passing that. Thank you.
Thank you. And Katie Sopo?
So the question was, would I support taking action on climate change and why? And so it is, yeah, Sheila's right. It is just such a broad question. Mm-hmm. And it's like, obviously, yeah. Like,
you would support taking action on climate change.
Yeah, taking action just means doing something. But what does that even mean? Like, that's not even part of the question. So, yes.
Okay. I think...
Why? Because it sets a good example for our kids, for other places in the state. It lets our legislators know that we're doing something. Like, we're actually doing something. Yeah.
Your answer is yes, underline, exclamation point. And I think...
And then maybe put it in bold,
in
too.
Bold.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on the assembly, I've covered the assembly for 2 years now. So much of the process is figuring out what is the right question to be asking, what mm-hmm. is being asked truly of the assembly. And I think that the answer, I need more information, as you all have brought up at various points, is a legitimate answer. Part of your job, for those of you listening at home who've never seen the assembly work, is to fact find, to do research, make your own phone calls, yes?
Well, and if I just can follow up the previous question that Michelle brought up, mm-hmm. I mean, the plastic bag initiative, if we can call it, can we call it an initiative? Okay, she's nodding her head yes. I mean, that's in effect taking action against climate change.
Sure, yeah. It really all depends on the ordinances that come before
right.
you.
Right, and so I...
Yeah. I appreciate your gameness on these questions from voters and people who care about these things. I have another question from someone who's a young Sitkin who chose to remain anonymous. And this is for you, Stephen, to start. It's a two-part question. Sitka has an affordable housing shortage. What can be done to address that crisis is how this person put this question. What can be done to address the affordable housing crisis? And then sub-question, yes or no, should codes be changed to make tiny homes legal in Sitka?
Well, I really wasn't looking forward to the question where I had to start out, and getting a two-part question can make that even harder. However, this is actually one that I come very well prepared to speak on tonight because it's one of the issues that I'm actually running on. I indicated earlier that there were a couple issues that I didn't feel that I had had time to finish during my time on the assembly, and this is one of them. I'll start off my comments by saying to me, affordable housing is two separate issues here. One, we have affordable home ownership, which there is a citizens group currently working on, and the second is affordable housing, which to me is apartments, condos, dwellings like that where a younger family can get their start, not necessarily owning the home. So with that, yes, there is an affordable housing issue in town. I really do think that we need to increase the low-cost rentals in this town. The specific way that I intend to present this to the Assembly, if reelected, and if not, I hope someone on the Assembly will take it up anyway, is with property tax incentives to spur the construction of more apartments. I think we're definitely lacking in apartment complexes here in town. If you look down south, many families get their start out in apartment complexes when they're just getting into life. With a property tax incentive, you could get new construction. I've actually even looked at the city of Tacoma that has a very well-written code on it, where if you dedicate 20% of your units to low-income housing, you get an extra, I think they have an extra 5 years on the reduced property taxes there. The nice thing about this is that it initially doesn't cost the city anything out of the gate. Yes, you might be losing a little bit in increased property taxes for the value of the addition on the land, but no money actually has to come out of city coffers in order to help fund this. Once that property fully gets on the tax roll, then you have an increased tax base right there. Do codes need to be changed to allow for tiny homes? Yes, but within reason. I've been in some discussions where there are concerns about windproofing these tiny homes to make sure that they're not falling over, that they actually have a solid foundation. So yes, the code should be changed to allow some more accessory dwelling units, it's a lot easier for people to do these, and tiny homes. But I think we need to do so in a safe manner so that we're ensuring our citizens' safety. Thank you.
Sonia Smith, how to address the affordable housing crisis and tiny homes? What do you think about making them legal?
I just think, in my own opinion, that this is just one more thing to add to the city obligations. And the reason I say that is because I'm kind of hearing a couple of things in this two-part question. And the one thing that I'm hearing kind of in the background of it is sustainable resources. I'm just going to put that out there. I think that's part of it. And sustainable resources, I think, is a different kind of agenda. So we're kind of leaning into something more than just tiny houses and the land. One of the other things that I think needs to also be looked at is the HUD housing. And what I'm saying is, you know, I'm really a person who is to look at resources that we already have, rather than, you know, trying to push the agenda for the new things. Let's correct where we're at first before we start moving in a new direction. Because, yes, it is a strain, but it kind of seems like we're leaning more towards, you know, the options for possibly the younger community there. What I would like to say about it is that there are subsidies available through programs like HUD. And the HUD program should have an extra $500 million in government contracting that would be able to generate some kind of subsidy for the city. So that I know for sure. So I would be willing to bring that to the table as a proposal.
Thank you, Sonia Smith. And speaking of bringing proposals to the table, if you don't mind me explaining the process, you co-sponsor an ordinance. A part of it, too, is convincing fellow assembly members to sign on, and then the assembly discusses it, might be put up for a vote. But Richard Ween, affordable housing crisis, tiny homes, too.
This is Richard Ween, and I'm going to answer the second question first, tiny houses. I love tiny houses, and I wish I had a tumbleweed myself. I think they're great places, very clever, great design, and so I would definitely push for something like that. Unfortunately, I did read a study about tiny homes, and do you know what one of the big problems in living in a tiny home is? Odor. So you need to limit refried beans if you're going to go down that road. And that's true. It is a true study. As far as affordable housing goes, the city's role is to provide a suitable environment for investment that includes appropriate zoning and codes, as well as regulation. As you may guess, the landslide hazard map may actually put a damper on land investment and building. I have not seen the final version of it, but that could definitely chill some development. The other thing is that if the city is to be proactive, I would recommend that the city review all building sites currently and then maybe even proactively be in touch with the owners to say this is what you can build on it due to regulation and so forth, and actually maybe even be the matchmaker between people who have land or whatever and bring them together with the banks and so forth to make this happen. But in the end, it's private capital that has done the most in Sitka. And if you look over where West Marine used to be, somebody, I don't know who, but they made apartments out of that, which was just once a store. And I also hear that the forest building here on at the harbor may also be broken down into apartments. So what happens is we need to have the marriage of the contractors and builders who have that interest and make it happen, because I think there's a lot of potential here. Thank you. Richard Ween.
And Sheila Finkenbinder, same question on affordable housing.
This is a real strong issue of mine, along with economic development. As I stated earlier, I'm building an accessory dwelling unit in my backyard. And this was a decision that was not easy to make, because I could have just sat back and left the trees in my backyard and gone on vacation. But I decided to invest in this community. So when we're done in a couple of months, we will have another dwelling unit for someone here in town. And I'll get a little bit of income. Maybe it'll make sense while I'm still alive. But we'll at least have another nice little house in my neighborhood and some place for someone to stay. So I've had a lot of talks with Mike Scarcelli with the planning department about issues related to this. Of course, going through the permitting process and special permits that I had to get to build my ADU. I know that the planning department is already actively working on looking at buildable sites in town and possibly changing ordinances and looking at making what's on paper match the reality of what's on the ground. For instance, how small a lot you can actually build something on, because what's happening on the ground doesn't match what's happening on paper. So people often have to go and get special permits when, if the language in the law was changed, it would be easier for someone to find a small lot to build a small house. So I know that the city already is interested in working, and I'm interested in helping them work on that issue of making more smaller lots available so that people can build smaller houses closer together so that we can afford them. Thank you.
Thank you. Ben Maiasato.
Thank you. Regarding this issue, I do have experience in this area. Affordable housing is something I've already sponsored out there on HPR. Been there and done that. Is that where it ends? No. We need, the city has land. It should sell land so it can be developed. That needs to be done. We need to be able to have affordable housing here in Sitka so we can attract more people who will be able to provide our economy with more diversity. Part of that is that on this affordable housing, that process itself is not easy. It took a lot of follow through just to make sure that one on HPR passed. And that was the whole thing about it, is that if I am elected back onto the assembly, I've already proven that I can do that and have follow through and make sure that something that I sponsored gets passed. Regarding codes so that we can have microhomes, I think that's a wonderful idea. The part of that is if you make that available to young people, you want them to feel that they are part of this community, and part of being part of that community is home ownership. Thank you.
Kitty Sopo, same question.
So how to address...
I think your microphone needs to be turned on. There you go.
So how to address the affordable housing issue? It's just really interesting because I've been wondering why there aren't more houseboats in this community, or just like this, the concept of like a floating home, just because there is more water than land at mm-hmm. this particular given time.
Yes.
And people in the community have come to me just recently. Somebody said that he had this idea of just wanting to learn more about like why there wasn't housing available out the Sawmill Creek way, connected to the road system. So I'd like to just learn more about that. You know, like, I don't really know why there's not, and I don't know if it could be possible, but that's like one idea that someone just offered up to me, and I think it would be kind of fun to look into it. The other ways of affordable housing in itself would be the tiny home issue, but since that's already the second part of this question, I have to admit that I don't know what the current codes are. So I don't know how they can be changed, and I don't know why that there's codes in place that don't allow them. And so I can't really speak to if they should be changed or not, because I just don't know what they are. But I think tiny homes are fun.
Okay. So you would support changing the code to legalize them, which would require work with the planning department and the planning commission.
I would support my volunteer time to work with the planning department to understand more about the feasibility of tiny homes in Sitka.
All right. And Jamie Ackley, same question.
Thank you. As a citizen here, I am feeling the crunch of affordable housing. So it's a very dear issue to me. As Stephen mentioned, taking away some of the ways Tacoma is dealing with some of their affordable housing issues, I would like to take a page of Lake Union. I'm from Washington State. For as long as I can remember, I have driven by the miles of float homes, houseboats down there in Lake Union, and they obviously are making it work, so I feel that we could learn something from them. But I would also like for us to think about if that's an avenue that we could broaden on, that is another possibility of new revenue into our city. There's quite a few businesses down in the Seattle area, which is really not that far from us, that are building quality float homes. If we could learn from them, bring that revenue up here, that's another way of bringing more citizens, more income into our city. Also, we have a lot of storage containers. I've been watching a lot of shows, not only with the tiny homes, but people using storage containers as base models of low-income homes, starter homes for most people. I think that that's another opportunity we have in our unique area that we can broaden on. So I feel that it needs to be looked at. I also don't know a lot of the codes, so that's going to be something that I need to be educated on more. But I would like to make sure I'm being educated by people that are very close in hand of this issue and really know it, the ins and outs of it.
Thank you. We're going to take one more question from the audience, and I'd like it to be a question that I think you win for most hand waving. Pat Alexander, and if it could be a question about something that hasn't been asked, so we cover all bases in Sitka, that would be great too. And of course, if everyone answers as succinctly as possible, we can allow for more time. We have about 10 minutes, 15 minutes left of our broadcast tonight.
Thank you. My name is Pat Alexander, and my question to you candidates, about a third of the community of Sitka are Alaska Native. I would like to hear your idea of what you believe the top three issues are of Alaska Natives in Sitka.
Okay, top three issues. And to keep it moving, just name those top three issues without going into detail, if that's okay. And you can take a moment to think about it as well. Part of what the Assembly does do is they have a government-to-government dinners with the Tribal Council. They receive reports regularly from tribal council members, and that election is going to be coming up in 2 months. So, Sonia Smith, if whenever you're ready, if you want to answer the question first.
I believe that the top three issues are... I don't like microphones.
That's okay. Sometimes I don't like them either. Go ahead.
Okay. So I believe that the top three issues with Native people are, number one, keeping families together.
Okay. Number two?
Supportive employment, broadening the employment base, especially for the disenfranchised, and poverty.
Number three, poverty.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sonia Smith.
What?
Poverty. That's Sonia Smith running for Sitka Assembly. Richard Ween.
Richard Ween here. The top three issues, I believe, are fairly standard for everybody, and that is health care, which is very important, and that includes keeping families together and having that healthy environment and everything that health care means. It also means housing, to make sure that people can grow their families and to do it affordably. And I think most important is that education. I have reviewed the statistics from the state on how Native students do, and though they start off the school young and everyone is equal in their test scores, as time goes on, Natives seem to be lost in the shuffle, okay. And I think that's important.
And number three?
Health, housing, education.
Housing, education. Great. Thank you. And Sheila, you're three.
Sheila Finkenbinder, and I believe that education is a problem with the Native population, too many still dropping out of our schools, maybe not feeling connected enough, needing a little more Native-focused education, language, culture classes, things like that. Housing is an issue, too, and there may be more that BHA could do to make housing more available and more affordable for the Native population, and also possibly the lack of feeling respected and honored. For instance, the question of the Baranoff statue has come up recently because Baranoff was indeed a very important person for a couple of hundred years here in Sitka, but our Native population has been here for 10,000 years, and perhaps it's time we had a statue of Chief Kiksati or even Bishop Innocent that works so closely with the Native population. This is Sheila. Thank you.
And Ben Maisato.
Top three, jobs, housing, affordability.
And Kitty Sopo? Jobs, affordability, and housing, for those at the back who weren't able to hear. Go ahead, Kitty.
Social justice, access to subsistence resources, and affordability.
Thank you. Jamie Ackley?
It's a little challenging. I would really want to have an in-depth conversation with the local elders to really get a good handle on what they feel that as an assembly member I need to help focus on. One issue that I can speak of something that I do know about is, I would say, education and healthy lifestyles. Working in the hospital, that is something I did deal with, so I do feel comfortable in stating that that is an issue that I feel that needs some help. But further than that, I would feel that I would need to definitely meet with some elders in the community to really make sure that we are addressing all those needs appropriately.
Thank you. And Stephen Eisenbeiss.
I did hear a lot of thoughts tonight on this question that are people issues. Everybody's going through those issues, not just Alaska Natives. However, the question was, what areas do I feel that Alaska Natives were struggling in or could use help in? And unfortunately, I hate to say it because it's something that should have been abolished a long time ago and shouldn't exist anymore, but racism. Racism is still very prevalent in our world, unfortunately, and it's going to take us as people working on that in order to abolish that. No ordinance, no laws, no nothing can eliminate that. I also think the Alaska Native population here has the ability to grow with their self-governance. I think the relationships with our city, state, and federal governments can be difficult at times, and I'd like to see a little bit more working together on that aspect. Within the last year, I feel that the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and the City Assembly have been working very, very well together, and I'm encouraged by our meetings and our results there. And finally, there is an education gap. The school system knows this and is working to close that gap. And I don't have a solution for the education gap, but that is something that needs to be addressed as well. Every child deserves a good education.
Thank you, Stephen. And we are, unfortunately, nearing the end of our program. I want to share with you some of the questions that weren't able to be asked just to inform you on what Sitkans are thinking and to give credit to those Sitkans. Michael wanted to know, what are the top two changes that you'd want to make if elected? How would you make them happen, and what are the challenges of your approach to those changes? Stephen wanted to know, what if you were given $2 million and the discretion to spend, invest, or otherwise use it in any way you choose? This is a one-time sum of money that you have absolute control over. So kind of a magic genie question. There was a question from Chandler O'Connell. It's projected that the number of Sitkans over 65 will increase by 50% over the next 10 years. What role should the Assembly play in supporting our elders and preparing Sitka for this demographic shift? I'm sharing with those with you because I don't want to pretend that we can possibly cover everything in 2 hours. And I think that this is a conversation that you will keep having if elected to the Assembly. And with that being said, I'd like to give you all an opportunity to make a one-minute closing statement. And it really will be 1 minute. I will be waving my arm to say hi. And you can each take a turn. I think that, Richard Ween, you are the first person in the rotation, so make your closing statement to listeners and voters.
Hi, this is Richard Ween. If given $2 million, I would definitely send you a postcard from Hawaii. As a surgeon by training, I spent my life taking complex situations and information and turning them into solutions, practical solutions, turning life-threatening situations into life-saving ones. It is the way I approach and solve problems that makes me ideally suited for the Assembly. There is no greater responsibility that can be had than standing over a sick, anesthetized patient with your knife poised for action. I guarantee you that problem solving and innovation on the Assembly will seem like a calm summer's day compared to the hard winter of surgical practice. On October 3rd, there's going to be an election. And there are no controversial referendums. We're not electing presidents or senators. And I think it is very important to become involved and get out there to vote, to have the largest turnout in Sitka history, because traditionally these types of elections don't bring out a lot of people, because it will show the Assembly and the city that this assembly is important and that people are listening. So whoever you vote for, please get out on October 3rd. Why do you keep waving at me? Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Ween.
All right. Sheila Finkenbinder, go ahead.
I'm Sheila, and I'm asking you to vote for me because I've made a purposeful decision after 27 years of management and leadership positions in Sitka and getting to know an awful lot of people through my volunteer efforts and participation in the community. I have made the decision to invest my time and money in this community, and I think that I would be happy to do the work of making the tough decisions that the Assembly has to make. I'm definitely asking for your help, not just your vote. And thank you all for listening and especially for being here tonight. I'm Sheila Finkenbinder. Thanks.
And Ben Maiasato, last thoughts.
Having served on the Assembly, I feel it is important that experience does matter. The issues that we face have not changed since the last election cycle. What has changed is that things need to get done, and they need to be done sooner rather than later. I do hope that people will get out and vote. I have always said that hypothetical question about the top two, and I always said that if given the chance and opportunity, I would say this. This current assembly is not representative of our demographics. Please, if you do vote, vote for those with experience, but also vote so that we will have women on this assembly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Ben Maiasato running for Sitka Assembly, and Kitty Sopo running as a write-in candidate. What are your last thoughts?
I didn't mention this earlier, but I'm working on my master's right now, and part of my schooling is taking courses in policy and how holes in policy are taken advantage of and the residents pay. And you can't really learn about those holes unless you're a part of it. And I'm really looking forward to the chance to be part of the apprenticeship program. Not necessarily that it's like a program or whatever, but just learning more about the assembly, how it affects Sitkans, what forces are really shaping the assembly's decisions, how those are affecting every single person in Sitka. Part of my schooling is learning more about consultations, specifically government-to-government consultations. And I'm just so excited to be sitting here with Ms. Pat, and I'm glad you brought that up. And I wish I could answer it better for your community. And I'm just glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kitty Sopo. She's running as a write-in candidate. And Jamie Ackley.
Hi. Thank you again. My name is Jamie Ackley. And after moving here about 2 years ago with my family, Sitka has become home. We've met some amazing people. And after traveling a lot in the military, you meet a lot of people, but it's a different group of people here in Sitka. And in a short amount of time, it has truly become home. We deal with the same struggles that all of you deal with every single day. How to pay the rent, how to pay our power bill, how to put food on our table. And I decided to take a stand and to try and help to do something about this. We're not alone. I know I'm not alone, and I feel that I want you all to feel that you're not alone. So if I'm elected, I can promise you that I will do my best. I struggle with balancing our family budget, and it's not an easy task. And I know balancing the city budget is not going to be an easy task also, but I'm willing to take a stand, and I'm willing to put myself out there to try and make some changes, because some changes need to happen, because we want to stay here. I don't want to have to move my child again. We have told him that this is home. This is where he's going to graduate from. And I would like to keep my word to my son. So please vote for me on October 3rd, Jamie Ackley.
Thank you. And Stephen Eisenbeis, your closing statement.
Well, I would tell everybody to vote for a certain candidate, but after reviewing Raven Radio's commentary policy, when I indicated to vote for a certain candidate earlier, that may be in violation of FCC rules. So I don't think I'll be indicating to vote for any specific candidate in my closing statement. In lieu of that, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all the people who have shown up tonight and shown an interest in the political process here. I want to say thank you to all the people who are listening at home on their radios, and everyone who's submitted questions and is taking an interest in this. There is, if your question was not answered tonight, there is another forum tomorrow. I believe it'll be back in this building again. And you get lunch, which makes it really good, too. Maybe Raven Radio next time can have dinner.
I know, we should have picked the crab apples in front of the building that I know everyone's been... Anyway,
and then my final thank you goes out to the citizens for electing me for the first three-year term. I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve, and I would love to serve again. There's one more thank you. Thank you to this diverse group of applicants for this position. In years past, I have not seen such a diverse group from all spectrums of life. So thank you for putting your hats in and being subjected to these questions this evening.
Thank you. That's Stephen Eisenbeis, running for his seat on the SICK Assembly. There's two other questions I just want to share. Sonia. Oh, right. We missed him. Sonia, please make a closing statement. Thank you for helping me remember members of the audience.
That's two Go ahead, for the Sonia. Team today, Emily.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I would like to propose that in our Tlingit and Haida cultures, we do not have the word racism in our languages. And I would offer that to you as an assembly member to tackle that issue, because we cannot accomplish very much with barriers. And as an assemblywoman, I would ask for your help to tackle that issue. Then we can start to make progress. Then we can start with respect. And our traditions speak volumes as Native people. We are environmentalists naturally. We welcome you naturally. We compliment you naturally. I believe that Sitka that needs that change, because we may have answers. And actually, in other states are looking to Native cultures for answers for their environmental problems. And if we all work together, we can get there. We can get there. I believe that. I would work hard. I would dedicate myself, as I have. And I would look forward to serving whatever task you put in front of me. And I would love to create that change. And I would also welcome our new people to Sitka. Please don't forget about them. Don't overlook them. They have so much to offer, and they're always there, no matter what. Just like our medical community. We need each other in Sitka. There's no doubt about that. And we need to each roll up our sleeves and tackle these issues together. Look to our young people. Please pat them on the back and encourage them with their educations. They have so much that they're going through, and I am only one person who listens to what is there. It's very problematic. It's very complex. But please, I would look to the challenge of voting someone different into this assembly. I thank you for your time, your dedication in listening to everyone, and thank you to each of our candidates here. You each have something to offer, obviously. But I would appreciate your vote. And on October 3rd, and I believe that I can change that. I believe that I can create that change. So thank you for being here.
That's Sonia Smith. She's running as a write-in candidate for the assembly. Oh,
mm-mm.
Wait. What? Oh, I said running as a candidate for the assembly. Can you see why we cut these programs off at 8:30? Your brain starts to melt. And I should add that all of these names will appear on the ballot on October 3rd. Both precincts will be voting at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Absentee ballots are being accepted on the third floor of City Hall right now. And if you want to vote for Kitty Sopo, you'll have to fill in the oval completely and spell out her name. That's KittySopow. They will recognize it if you get the spelling off a little bit, but it has to say Kitty Sopo in order to count towards that vote. Election Day, it's not that far away, and I want to thank all of our candidates for taking part in this, because the average assembly member works 5 to 20 hours a week, depending on the demands. These are volunteers. They are the faces and the voices of representing our town, and I just commend you all for running. I also want to thank the Raven Radio staff that made this all possible, kind of behind the scenes, Catherine and Sarah and Rob, and the Harrigan Centennial Hall staff for hosting us, and to all of you who submitted questions, too. There was a question about the visitor industry. There was a question about the comprehensive plan. I couldn't possibly get to it all. But as Stephen said, these candidates will be gathering again tomorrow at the Sitka Chamber of Commerce's noontime luncheon here at Harrigan Centennial Hall. You can ask more questions there. We'll continue our coverage of the election on Thursday, September 21st. Tune in at 6:30 for a live call-in show with your candidates for school board. That's Dionne Brady Howard and Elias Erickson for two seats on the school board. Thank you for joining us, everyone listening, and all of those in the audience. I'm Emily Kwong, KCAW reporter. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka.